Well, if you are joining us for the first time, or maybe you were here last week, we are in a theme on peace this month, the month of August. And so our title this morning is Grab a Pillow. Grab a Pillow. When life storms disturb your peace, grab a pillow. It'll make a little bit more sense here in a little bit. We're going to do something a little different today. We're going to read all three accounts of this story that we know so well. This is Jesus there on the boat calming the storm. And of course, you find him, the Bible says, there sleeping on a cushion, which I'm going to call a pillow. Amen. Peace means a lot of different things to a lot of people. If you live in Beirut, Lebanon, or if you live in Ukraine right now, peace means, hey, you know, a ceasefire, stop war, stop killing our people. If you are a newborn mother, peace probably means I can't wait till the child is sleeping through the night, amen? Or if you're the parent of a toddler, peace might mean, boy, 90-minute naps are just absolutely a gift from God, amen? We often understand peace, but I will say the peace that Jesus offers us, it's not like anything else the world can offer. Because Jesus' peace, it is not based on circumstances. It's sort of an inner resolve that grips and controls us, right? It doesn't mean that we won't have any problems. It just means that when we have problems, those problems don't have us, okay? It means that even if life is starting to fall apart, I don't have to fall apart with life. That's the kind of peace that God wants us to have. Amen. I got 4 points this morning, but we're going to read all three of these accounts. They're pretty brief. So let's go to Mark chapter 4, verse 35 through 41 first. You with me? Let's do it. Maybe we should have read Matthew first, right? This would be in order, Matthew, Mark, Luke. Anyway, we'll go to Mark. We're already there. Let's go to Mark. Thanks, Jeff. That day when evening came, he says to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. Disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." There's exclamation points there, so I had to, you know, really get after it. Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Let's go to Matthew chapter 8. Now we're going to start a little bit early in Matthew 8. This is Jesus. He heals a lot of people, verses 14. And then in verse 18, it says, when Jesus saw the crowd around him, he gave orders to cross to the other side of the lake. Then a teacher of the law came and said, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus replied, "Foxes have dens, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." Another disciple said to him, "Lord, first let me go bury my father." But Jesus told him, "Follow me and let the dead bury their own dead." Then he got into the boat, and his disciples followed him. Suddenly a furious storm came up on the lake, so that the waves swept over the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. Disciples went and woke him, saying, "Lord, save us! We're going to drown!" He replied, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" Then he got up, rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, "What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him." And then Luke chapter 8. Luke 8, 22 through 25. One day Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side of the lake." So they got into a boat and set out. As they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped and they were in great danger. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided and all was calm. "Where is your faith?" he asked his disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, "Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water," and they obey him. And the church said, Amen. I like reading all three accounts because this is one of those situations where you know that there were multiple sort of things that are being said. There's a lot not said here. But you can only imagine the 12 disciples, if they all run to him, somebody's yelling something, another guy's yelling another thing, somebody's yelling this, somebody's yelling that, somebody's saying, "Master, save us," and then someone goes, "What are you doing sleeping? Get up!" You know what I'm saying? "What's your problem?" I can imagine all of that going on. Because honestly, when our peace gets disturbed, we're not always the most rational beings, if you know what I mean. Now, these men were fishermen. So when they say it was a storm that put that terrorized them, you know it was a bad storm. They spent a lot of time in that water, and they were horrified. First point. You know, there's a universal quest for peace. Anyone here like crowds? Nobody likes crowds? Oh, I thought I was the only person that didn't like crowds. Manny likes crowds. I don't really enjoy crowds so much, you know. As a disciple, I mean, I've learned to love them and embrace them. You say, "Well, you played in front of crowds," but I wasn't in the crowds. I don't really like sitting in the crowds. I'm always a little bit kind of anxious when I'm in a crowd, you know. And so, but you're not a crowd. You're my family, amen? So I can be amongst you. When I go home, I do get a nap in, okay? But crowds kind of wear me out a little bit, you know. But everyone is looking for peace. It's interesting that the disciples, they were with a crowd. And the disciples, I think they wanted time with Jesus alone. And plus, Jesus just wore them out, I believe. You know, they walked everywhere. Jesus was in great shape. They're like, "Can we just get a nap in, a rest or something?" And Jesus was strong and loved everybody and held a lot of conversation. The disciples were like, "Okay, we're going to go somewhere and rest eventually. And we're hungry all the time, you know. Don't you ever eat, Jesus, you know?" He goes, "Okay, let's get in a boat. We're going to go over to the other side," he says. It's interesting that they're leaving what could be a little bit of chaos to go get some peace. And then they end up in the middle of chaos. It's true that all the things that many times we do to get peace in our life, they actually end up putting us right in the middle of some kind of storm, right? Isn't that true? But everybody is trying to get peace. Everyone wants it. Everyone wants peace and quiet and a little R&R, okay? Everybody, all of humanity is searching for peace. But what we don't often realize is that we were born for peace. And believe it or not, we were built for peace. And if you're lacking peace, let me remind you of the peace of the Master. During life storms, it is essential that we realize that Jesus is present. So point two, the Master of Peace. Jesus went back to the boat says he went to the stern, he went to the back of the boat, and he found a pillow. Now, anyone here take a nap on Sundays or at any point? Or anybody ever fall asleep, you know, watching TV or anything like that? You know? Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. You know, I know that it's become very, you know, very much in vogue to get these throw pillows, you know, and put them on the couch, you know. But this boat wasn't a throw pillow type, you know, boat. You know what I'm saying? So you might end up with a throw pillow on your couch or in your chair or something like that. But generally speaking, if you grab a pillow, you're planning to sleep. Jesus didn't fall asleep. He just said, I'm going back to go to sleep. When you grab your pillow, you're going, I'm going to go to sleep. Bye. Okay? He goes back. He intentionally falls asleep. And then the Bible says that such a storm came up that even the fishermen, they were like, what is happening? Their pieces been rocked. They're messed up. But my question is, how does Jesus sleep in the middle of a storm? I mean, this wasn't like he was in a house somewhere. I got a brick house. It's three layers of brick. And if it rains really hard, sometimes I wake up and go, oh, it rained last night. I can't hear anything, right? He's in the middle of the ocean, in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. How is it? Is he able to sleep? Because Jesus has peace. Because he is at peace. He knows something that we don't know. He is totally at peace. You know, we have a lot of access to information where we can forecast. Don't we? We have a lot of, you can pull out your phone right now. You can kind of get an idea what the weather's going to be like tomorrow. We live in the middle of the country, might be hit or miss, you know what I'm saying? But for the most part, you get an idea, right? In fact, we got so much information. I mean, we have ultrasounds that, frankly, sometimes I look at them, they scare me. I'm like, that baby looks like an alien. You know what I mean? That's like way too much. That's too much image. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we could look, we could find out what the kid's gender is. We could find out whether they have diseases. We can totally forecast and look way ahead and look at everything. In the old days, we didn't have that. You just wait till the baby was born. Then you started painting the room. Now, you can paint the room. You can get the clothes for the boy. You can get everything going. You can be totally ready for that child to come out, right? And that could be sometimes interpreted as, I have peace of mind because I know everything that's going to happen.
All right. Come on, Ben.
And you may be tempted to say, well, Jesus knew that there was going to be a storm. Here's what I will say to we know-it-all Westerners who want to know all information. We can sort of write, well, Jesus knew there was going to be a storm, and so he took a nap, and it was just an object lesson for the disciples. Well, perhaps. But I think Jesus had such peace that he didn't care if there was going to be a storm. It did not matter whether there was going to be a storm or not. It didn't matter any of that. He didn't have to have control of all the details because he was at peace. See, that's the master's peace, is that I don't have to have control of everything. I don't have to know everything. I don't have to be in charge of everything. He's just at peace. That's the master's peace. And we struggle with embracing the peace. See, Jesus had that peace that just, it grips you, it controls you. And so no matter what's going on around you internally, he is always at the right temperature. Isn't that awesome? I don't always have that. I don't always have that peace. I lack it. And I told you I've been praying about this and I've been studying it really all month. And I'm telling you, I'm saying, okay, I'm going to be at peace. I take deep breaths. I do breath prayers. I do all of that. And yesterday I was on my grill making some wings. I make the best wings in the state of Missouri, by the way. Pretty good. Alex, where's Alex? Can I get a witness?
Absolutely.
Come on, bro. I pay him to say that. Anyway, so it is true. But I was making my wings yesterday, and my grill is a little busted. And so something happened. My grate fell, and my wings fell in the fire. And I was like, ah! So my wife comes out on the deck above. She goes, what's going on down there, mister? I'm like, oh, I'm freaking out over a wing that fell in the fire. It was actually two wings. So, and then the third one was going down there, but I saved it. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, ugh. So I shut the door and I go in and I wash it off and I'm like, ugh. And then I go, what is this? It's just a wing. What are you doing? I grab myself. I lost my peace over two wings falling in charcoal just that quickly, you know? I need the peace of the master. So I don't say this from a place of you people with no peace in your life. Just listen to me. No, I know the struggle is real for all of us, amen? But we need the master's peace. And Jesus, he's always prepared. He's always prepared. He's prepared for the unrest. He's prepared to be interrupted. He's prepared when the wing falls in the fire. He's always prepared, you know what I mean? And doesn't matter what comes his way. He can have perfect peace. He is the Prince of Peace. Amen?
Amen.
But he's also prepared for our lack of faith. Point number three. You can go to the next slide. Our faith is tested in the storms of life, brothers and sisters. The disciples have a visceral reaction here to the turbulent waters. And I was working on this passage with my Bible talk, Southside Bible Talk, South City Bible Talk? Yeah. So we were working on this passage together this past week. I like to get with the little discerning groups and we'll work on passages and they give me feedback and give me thoughts and I use all of this stuff and claim it as mine. Amen? No, South City Bible Talk helped me with this sermon. But they have a visceral sort of reaction to this turbulent water, these turbulent waters, just like us. When difficult moments come, we panic. We lose our mind. I don't know about you, but we all have something we do whenever we get a little worked up. You know what I mean? Maybe you start tapping your feet. For me, I start holding my breath because I want to cut off oxygen to my brain. That's good. But I start holding my breath a little bit, you know. And then I get really worked up, and that makes my heart beat faster. And you know what's going to happen then. I'm really worked into a frenzy then. I don't know what you do. Some people start sweating, okay? Some people get jittery, fidgety, whatever the case is. But the disciples, they are totally, they're reacting, and they're reacting just like us. Jesus is ready for our lack of faith. He's ready for it. He's ready for us to panic. We become irrational, but Jesus knows that. And then we do things like them. Jesus, you don't care. We start blaming. We blame God. We blame Jesus. Or we blame people. You blame your spouse if you're married. That's a good person to blame when things go bad, right? You start blaming your spouse. If you got kids, you can blame them. Good when we blame our parents. That's what we all do that. Blame our parents. Oh, my upbringing was so hard. Oh, great, yeah. And then your parents will tell you how hard their upbringing. You know what I'm saying? We can just keep going, right?
Right.
But we blame and we want to take it out. And that's what the disciples are doing. Lord, you even those the master, we're going to drown. In that is fear, panic. And like, Lord, are you out of your mind laying there sleeping? You better get up and fix my problems right now. That's where we're at. That's what I do. I mean, think about the last time you got angry. The last time you were afraid. The last time you were worried. Think about the last time you were frustrated because things didn't go exactly the way you expected or the way you assumed they would go. Think about your health situation, a health scare. Think about the last time you were frustrated in your marriage or frustrated because you're not married. Think about the last time you were anxious about your finances. You know, a study shows these are the eight primary stressors of people in the developed world. work-related stress. It's high job demands, a lack of control in your workplace, financial worries, concerns about money, debt, financial security. These things are significant. Chronic illness and health issues and concerns about, you know, the health of loved ones or, you know, are major sources of stress for people. Personal relationships, difficulties in relationships, whether romantic, familiar, or social, they all contribute to anxiety and stress. Major life changes, events such as moving, starting a new job, or, you know, or even experiencing bereavement can be highly stressful. Uncertainty and a lack of control. There's so much we don't have control of, right? But not knowing what the future holds. Feeling powerless in situations can exacerbate anxiety. And then, you know, parenting or family responsibility. The challenges of raising children or managing your family dynamics or in some cases taking care of elderly siblings or elderly family members can be super stressful. And frankly, loneliness, isolation, feeling disconnected from others can lead to heightened stress and anxiety. And each of us, we face storms like this in our life. We face it. And we have a lack of faith when we hit those moments. The apostles did. I mean, these guys walked with Jesus. They actually saw the miracle. If you just read through the gospel, there was just a miracle. Jesus just healed many. And it was Jesus who said, we're going over to the other side. But when you get in the middle of the storm, I don't remember. What did he say? I don't remember nothing. I don't remember no miracles. I don't remember anything. What did he say? He better wake up. I don't know what he was talking about early, but he better get up. That's how we get, right? That's our anxiety. It's our stressfulness. And I know we all handle it differently. But at the end of the day, we all face our moments. Sometimes we are allowed to hit rock bottom because we realize that Jesus is the rock at the bottom. Sometimes he allows us to get into situations that we can't fix because Jesus wants to fix it. That's how it is. And I tell you, if you're lacking faith today, I will say, don't give up. Please don't give up. Amen. Don't give up. Maybe you feel like I'm anxious, I'm frustrated, I'm worried. It could be about your children. It could be about anything. Maybe you just feel solely frustrated. I'm fed up. I'm done. I can't handle it anymore. I'm checking out. I'm cashing it in. I say, please don't give up. Amen. Jesus can handle your lack of faith.
Yes, he can.
He can handle your weak moment. He can handle you losing your mind. He can handle you being filled with stress and anxiety. He can handle it all. You don't surprise him. Jesus isn't surprised when you're like, Jesus is like, oh my gosh, what's the matter with you? Jesus is not like that. That's kind of how your friends respond. Like, dude, chill out. Jesus, he's not surprised or shocked because he's the master of peace. And your lack of peace doesn't affect his peace. Amen. So you need not worry about that. I don't want to take it to Jesus. Jesus is exactly where we need to take it. Amen. If you're lacking faith, don't give up. Talk to somebody before you leave. Maybe you talk to someone that has a little more faith than you and ask them to loan you some of their faith. Amen. Say, can you just loan me a little faith? I'll give it back when I'm done. Okay. But don't give up. Hang in there. Amen.
Amen.
Point number four, grow in trust and relationship after the storms. You know, the disciples are astonished at Jesus' command over the elements, right? They say, who is this? Even the winds and the waves, they obey him. This is a pivotal revelation for them, if you can believe it or not. They recognize Jesus' lordship over all of creation. It's a good thing they came to grips with that. They understand it. But you know what? Miracles mighty works can only produce so much faith in a person's heart. See, the real foundation of our faith, it comes from trust and it comes from relationship. The miracles alone don't do it. I mean, the disciples had seen miracles. And when you're in the middle of the storm, you forget the miracles. Like, you got life storms coming up, and haven't we all just forgot? You're like, don't you remember what God did for you? Well, what's he done lately? He better wake up. You know what I'm saying? In the middle of those storms, you're like, you can't remember those miracles. You cut off oxygen in your brain. You forgot everything. We can see the miracles. And they point out a little bit about God for us. But we can see them, and we can miss God's true nature and his love. And we can actually continue believing about Jesus the same way we did before the miracle.
Amen.
Miracles, they should produce real change. But I'm telling you, trust and relationship produce lasting change in us. Real change comes when we trust who Jesus is. That he's the calmer of storms. That he's the protector of our lives. That he's the shepherd of the lost sheep. That he's the restorer of broken dreams. That he's the provider of all good things. And that he never freaks out. He's always at peace.
Amen.
Miracles are good, but they're not the foundation of our relationship with God. Jesus is the foundation. His word is our foundation. Covenant relationship is our foundation.
Yeah.
Repentance is our foundation. Forgiveness of sin, building up the body of believers, those are foundational things. We can desire to see miracles from God. I want to see miracles. I'm looking for miracles, amen? I'm expecting the impossible, okay? I want those miracles, but remember, those miracles are simply they're sort of like decoration on a tree. On a tree of life that's already rooted in Jesus, amen? And when we realize that, it becomes a little bit easier to sustain our hope in the middle of the storm. It becomes a little bit easier to believe that when it really gets dark and there seems to be no light anywhere around us, we can hold on to our hope a little tighter. The peace Jesus offers, it's like nothing else. It's not based on circumstances. It's an inner resolve that grips us. It controls us. Like I said, it doesn't mean there won't be any problems. It just means those problems, they won't have us. They won't have me. Jesus' peace teaches us that even when everything is falling apart, Vince, you do not have to fall apart. I can hang in there. I can grab my pillow and rest peacefully. Amen.
Amen.